Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
All right, today's theme is Only See Jesus. Only see Jesus. I've come to say, the song is everywhere, that I really love you. I've come to say that I really love you, Lord. I really love you, oh God. I'm nothing without you, God. I really love you, oh God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Only see Jesus. Now, through the scriptures, if you read carefully, you find out that it's been a pursuit for just one thing: Jesus to be revealed through the Old Testament to what? The New Testament. Every part of the Bible points to Jesus Christ. And it is because, not just for fun. Why are every part of the Bible through the Old Testament and New Testament pointing to Jesus? Because Jesus is a revelation of God to humanity. Alright? He is a revelation of God to humanity. And that's why the scripture is centered around Jesus Christ. Are we together? If you read the Bible without seeing Jesus in the Bible, you will never know God. That's why there are a lot of people who read scriptures, but they never come to terms with who God is, because they never found Jesus in the scripture. They were reading regulations, rules, tradition, history. And some of them will say, I know the Bible. Yeah, it's possible to know the Bible, but you still would not know God because you didn't see Jesus in the Bible. Are we together? Very, very possible. In John 5:39, Jesus made this statement himself. John 5:39. He made this unique statement himself. He said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. He said, and these are they which what? Testify about me. So he's saying the scripture testifies about him. It's centered around him. Are we together? That everything in scripture points to him. So they are searching for the scriptures to find eternal life, not knowing the scripture is pointing to him. Now, and he's here before them, they are rejecting him, and yet they are searching the scripture to find eternal life. Remember, how do we get eternal life? The Pseudocode, John 3:16. For God so what? That he gave what? That whoever believes in his only begotten Son, Jesus, will know what? But have what? So see, here are people looking for eternal life and neglecting Jesus before them. And Jesus was asking them a question. He said, you are searching the scripture because you think in them you will find the life of God. He said, but the scripture itself points to me. And it is of course through me you will find the life of God. Are we together? So every part of scripture points to Jesus through the Old Testament to the New Testament. There's a certain part of scripture, I don't know why I always mix it up. In Luke 4, is it Luke 4:24? Some of you know it. Says the scriptures that says, beginning from the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Luke what? Luke 24, 44, 42. What? 44? All right. Wow. Okay. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophet and in the Psalms concerning me. You see that? So everything points to Jesus. He's the center of scripture. If you want to enjoy Christianity, know the scriptures. Know Jesus, because he's the center of scriptures. If you don't know scriptures, you will not like Christianity. Don't be pursuing spirit, you know. Some people are just pursuing spirit in the realm of the spirit. No magnitude, no direction. They don't even know where they are going to. Realms, and you know, one time I was studying the Bible, and I found that some pursuit is very, very vain, because people actually had encounters that were not even, you know, there was an encounter I saw. They were not even Christians. Do you know in the Bible people saw angels and they were not even Christians yet and spoke with angels? I'm trying to remember the part of scriptures I was reading and I saw somebody speaking with an angel. And it was not Cornelius in the book of Acts. He was a soldier. Before he became born again, he encountered an angel. The angel said, go and meet Peter to teach you the Bible. Teach you up about salvation. So he was not saved yet. He encountered an angel. The angel did not say, now that you have encountered me, you are in the realm. He said, go and meet Peter, because they don't know about salvation like we do. Are we together? The Bible says, even angels desire to see into these things. So he had to point Cornelius to a man to show you how powerful a man is in the realm of the spirit. He said, go and meet Peter to receive eternal life so that he will teach you the ways of the Lord. Now, can Cornelius now start boasting that I had an encounter with an angel and he spoke to me and I'm a tougher Christian or a bigger Christian? Are we together? He cannot go and boast about those things. Are we together? So, having an encounter with the realm of the spirit, with anything in the realm of the spirit, does not automatically makes you a Christian. In fact, Abraham, before he started following God chiefly, God encountered him and spoke to him. Are we together? He was yet an idol worshiper. What makes you a Christian is that you understand salvation. You understand Christ Jesus. In the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, the Bible prophesies and calls Jesus Yeshua, my salvation. He's an embodiment of our salvation. He is our salvation. His nature as a risen Jesus comprises all of humanity's victory. Everything we desire to be like and how we are supposed to live is Jesus Christ. He is our perfect mirror. Meaning we should not desire a lesser life than the standard that has been set in Jesus Christ. Are we together? Because he is God revealed. And the Bible said in Genesis, God created man in his what? Image and likeness. Are we together? But you know, sometimes life seems to want to just, you know, have its fair share on us sometimes. And we are almost forgetting that we are supposed to be like Jesus. Sometimes you even have the revelation and you just say experiences will just dust it off your head sometimes. Have you been there before? You forgot who you were. Your declaration affirmed that you forgot it. Sometimes some circumstance, sometimes some mistake, one or two mistakes you make will just make you forget everything. Let me come like this because Treasure is trying to see me. Are we together? Hallelujah to Jesus. Can you see me now, right? Yeah. Hallelujah to Jesus. I hope nobody is in the... Okay, everybody is seeing me. Life's experience... Daniel is hiding from seeing me. They are trying to see me. Okay. Hallelujah to Jesus. You know, those days in school, if you are hiding from teacher seeing you, you are a suspect. A teacher comes, you now stay on the back of somebody. A suspect. So sometimes life's experiences want to make you forget revelation. How many of you have been at points where you almost forgot revelation? You almost forgot. You know, this land issue is one of the reasons I came to church late today. And, you know, I was trying to see how manipulative human beings can be. You know, they feel like since we worship Jesus, we should be timid. We should behave like snail. You know, and some of them, someone was telling me, Pastor, is it not you again? You are a gentleman. You don't have this character. And I said, I have. You never just saw it. I mean, did Jesus whip people off the temple? Nobody knew that God will do that kind of thing. Dear Jesus, God can whip. One man army. You know, at some point, listen carefully. Are you here? When they say the battle is the Lord's, they don't mean that you should go and sit down and sleep, that the battle belongs to God. You see, this scripture is not even in the New Testament, it's in the Old Testament. Where they were fighting, yet they'll be saying the battle is the Lord. They are going with this thing, yet they'll be saying the battle belongs to God. When they quoted, "Be still and know that I'm God," they did not sleep. They were going to fight. Be still and know. Understand the context. What they're trying to say is that have total faith in God. You know, when the Bible says be bold as a lion, it paints a picture that there are times you ought to be bold as a Christian. You refuse to be cheated. Somebody's trying to cheat you. Say, "Don't worry, my God will fight you." You are cheating me. Stop it. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? One demon in your father's place, I'll be your mother's place. I've killed the firstborn, killed the secondborn, killed the thirdborn. And your mother is saying, "Let peace reign." Which peace? Let war reign. As they kill, you know, for a witch, listen, let me give you one law. Any witch that kill anybody in your house, kill the witch back. Jesus said, "Forgive your enemies. And if they slap you on the cheek, turn the other cheek." Thank God did not say, "If they kill your father, don't kill their father." Any witch that kill, that one has become crazy. Kill it. Because it is a it. It's not a human being. It's a thing. If you are feeling dull that I say kill a witch, you are a witch or a wizard. So, Pastor, I'm not excited. You just say they should kill a witch. Wow. So you are a witch? Or you are a wizard? You know, I called somebody, I said, "You are a wizard." He got offended, but he's a wizard. I said, "People don't know, but I know you are a wizard." "I know, sure," he said, "Pastor called me a wizard." I said, "Are you not a wizard?" Codedly. I was talking with one of my friends. He said, he dashed somebody's clothes. So he dashed the person's clothes. The person now want to kill him with the clothes, they dash him. So he had a vision, the man was trying to kill him. He said, "This man died dash clot." So the man now was telling somebody who didn't know how to keep secrets. He said, "I've killed plenty of people. Anytime I do something to that man, the thing will hit him, he will not die, but he will just fall sick. Something is covering the man." So the man will just be falling sick. Some of you now in hospital that they've admitted, maybe they hit you. You know that kind of thing that will hit you. That all you did, that's why you were on the sick bed. Life is spiritual, though. Don't think we don't know what you are saying. There are many people who thought that we don't know what they are saying. They are in heaven now. Some of them were not ready. They are now in hell. Seeing that we know what we are saying. Don't think that if you are in club and a witch kill you, you go to heaven. Listen, though, let me say this thing. It's like people don't understand. They say, if they kill me, my death, my sin, they their head. If you were partying in a club, you were partying hard. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And a witch or wizard kill you, you are going to hell with that witch. Because you were a weakling. You were walking with Satan. That's why Satan killed you. It's just like you went to steal with somebody. So if you went to steal, then I shot one and left the other. So the other that they left now is now feeling like you that they shot now, you are now feeling like you are not a victim. You are a victim. That thing that they say, "My blood will pour upon your head," is not true. In terms of sin, do you understand what I'm trying to say? You people don't like this truth, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's the truth. Because the reason why Satan could strike you, the Bible says when you break the edge, the serpent word, very important, is because you disobeyed God. That's why Satan had the impetus. It's not God punishing you. God has put a wall of fire, of glory around us. And by our obedience, we are sustaining that wall. Are you listening to me? By our faith in Jesus. When you neglect faith and are disobedient and decide to walk in the path of darkness, Of course, you give Satan a leverage to what? He comes to what? The only thing Satan is doing in this world today is stealing potentials from people. And you know, if he wants to steal from you, he will not come and steal like a thief we know on the earth. Come and carry something. Mm-mm. He will steal from you by distracting you. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? By distracting you. He steals from you. He kills. He wants to kill. Then he wants to what? Destroy. That's the job of Satan. Even while you are dead, he wants you destroyed, not just dead. There's a way he wants you to die. In a very scattered way. And he wants you in hell. He wants you to lose your potentials, never realize what God has put on your inside. That's why he brings a form of addiction and distraction. Read the Bible in Matthew 13. What will the enemy do? He will come and plant what? Tares. Where God will plant, the good master will plant what? Wheat. His only job is to plant tares. God will plant wheat. He will come and plant. That's what he will do. He will plant something in your life that you'll be fighting for many years. Those years you are supposed to be productive, you are fighting something. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? There are a lot of people that wrong character, addiction have kept them to be unproductive for a long period of time. And you know, science says, medicine says, that part of your brain that is necessary for creativity is the same part of your brain that addiction subdues if it wants to find its full course in you. So if you are addicted, you can't be creative. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? This is how he steals from us. Then he goes ahead to kill our potentials, kill us, and what? Destroy us. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians 2, he said, although dead but walking. Meaning there are a lot of dead people who walk. Then he wants you destroyed in hell. Finally. That's how wicked Satan is. This is the only thing Satan is doing in this world today. And I tell you, that is why he's fighting even ministers of the gospel. There's a potential in you. All of a sudden, he's fighting you. Satan is not just fighting you small. He's fighting you with the whole of his life. He has no life, or he's dead. The whole of his whatever he has. That's what he's using to fight everybody. Satan will not fight with just one demon. He fights with legions of demons. He's that serious. Are you listening to me? The Bible says like a what? If, you know, the word roaring there should paint a picture. When they say roaring, don't just think he's just in a rah, rah. When a lion roars, what is he trying to insinuate? Huh? To what? To intimidate. He's trying to guard his territory. Is it like a roaring lion? It's like, he's trying to paint a picture that these earth, these people, I want to take them, they belong to me. More like, you know, he took the authority from Adam illegally. God came and gave man back the authority. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So he's trying to fight the fact that this authority is his own. That's why he sees a rising star. He deploys all the agents in hell. Jesus was born. Kill all men. Enter the king's heart. Kill all masons. Moses was born. Kill all masons. That's how far Satan can go. You know, some of us don't know that we're that important. That is why we are wondering the kind of trials and temptation over us. So I've tried to stop this thing for several years. I don't know why. Because you don't know that you are that important to God in destiny. You know, when people say, the devil know what is in my life, that's why he tried me. I'm like, now, wow, your own better. There's nothing in my own. This one happening to me is just a coincidence. There's so much in you. The Bible says, before I formed you in your mom's womb, I had what? Known you. God knew us before he put us in our mom's womb. You had an identity before you were 9 months in your mom's womb. He said, and he had called us to become what? I mean, speaking to Jeremiah, he said, before I knew you, before I put you in your mom's womb, I had known you, Jeremiah. I had called you to be a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah was less than 17 when he had an affirmation of his call. Less than 17. All of us seated here are more than 17. Fulfilling the call of God upon his life. One of the things Jeremiah said that will affirm that he was very young. He said, Lord, I'm very young. Was that not it? He said, how do I talk to elderly people? God told him, he said, do not be scared of their faces. Go and boldly speak to them. It was there God told him the word of God is like a hammer, I mean, an etc. gave him boldness. And Jeremiah went in the strength of the Lord. You see that? That's why when you want to preach the gospel, you don't be looking at your age. My uncle no go hear me. My auntie no go hear me. You know, some of you, before you start preaching, the way your uncle will look at you, you know, there's no gospel to preach. Still preach. I told you a story many years ago. I was preaching to my dad. He was driving into the barracks in Ojo. And we're talking about alcohol. He wanted to buy alcohol before he, you know, he doesn't drink outside, but he drinks inside. And he tries to justify that it's not a serious sin since he drinks in the front of his family. And I told him that it's still sin, even though the location is different. So, while we're going home, he now entered the place and bought before we started this. I was talking, he did not hear. He just entered, bought it, entered the car back. On the car and started going. I said, Simon, see, you will not understand, you are a young man. You know, blah, blah, blah. You know, there was one day he called me, he said, I should come and test. And he said, come. I came, he said, take, test. I said, what is that? He said, test, my friend. You are my first boy. You are supposed to understand something. Test it. I said, no, I will not take alcohol. He said, eh? He said, you can go. So while we're talking, he said, alcohol is not a sin. Are you hearing me? Because he did theology, he did all of those courses, so he wanted to start quoting scripture. I said, it is a sin. Boom. So when I was talking, I now quoted the Greek word, olam. Broke it. He was looking at my eyes. He said, hey. So he now said, okay, let me keep quiet. He said, is anybody going to be like Jesus? Can anybody be like Jesus? I said, good question. I said, yes. The Bible said, you know, very scriptural. Quoted the Bible for him, 1 John 4:17. And, woo! He said, really? I said, yes, sir. He said, you now, are you like Jesus? I reduced my volume small. I said, yes, sir. Because I know he knows about all my sins. You know, when the song said, Jesus knows all about, my dad knows all about my sins. And when I said yes, I just knew that trouble was coming. He said, Simon, you are like Jesus. He said, oh, I will tell your mom what you just said. You said you are like Jesus. Then I started explaining. I said, if anybody be in Christ, is a new creation. So all those things you know about me are old things. I'm a new man in Christ. Another of my uncle, I was preaching to him. Immediately I said, anybody can live above sin. He started laughing. He now said, what of you? Are you living above sin? I said, yes. He said, ah, oh God, I'm dead. He said, Simon. I said, yeah, if anybody be in Christ, the world, new creation. All things are God. That was what happened to Jeremiah. God said, don't be scared of their faces. Some of you have people in your homes who are on their way to hell. Talk to them about Jesus. Some of them are your elder brothers, elder sisters. If you say you love them, you don't want to disrespect them, blah, you will honor them to hell. It's the truth. Some of them are living lives that you know does not glorify Jesus. Am I saying the right thing? It's the truth. We all have siblings that sometimes we are not proud of the way some of them are living. You must have that impetus. You know, I'm not saying make your siblings feel like sinners. Insult them. That's not what I'm saying. But the Bible says if you cover a sin, it destroys individuals. You have to tell them boldly, this thing you are doing is not the way of the Lord. Boldly and calmly and honorably, probably. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? With all honor. You think you love them? That's why you not tell them, you honor them. Wait till you see them in hell. You will cry. You will cry. Are you listening to me? Paint the picture of Jesus everywhere. Paint it everywhere. And that's why the scripture revolves around Jesus, because Jesus is the revelation of God. And like I said, Satan will not take it easy at all. He will bring all the difficult moments to making sure that you doubt this revelation of Jesus that you have. He will bring all the difficult moments. I'm telling you from experience. He will bring it. As a young lad, while I was growing, I had difficult seasons of my life. Very difficult seasons where I was wondering if I can be a Christian. Yes, I had tough times like that. I was like, this Christianity, I'm not cut out for it. Like Sonny would say. Am I sure I'm cut out for this? Maybe I should just be, you know, it's easier to just want to be one of the Christians in the choir, one of the Christians in the ushering, you know. You can just sing some small sing and still be cool with God when pastor up, you say, oh yes, Lord, I receive. And for a season, you are cool with God. And for a season, you know, that kind of Christian that want to do bad thing than do good thing, but he's still a Christian. You know, you are doing bad thing, but you belong to Jesus. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? I kind of cool Christians. So I was like, God, if I was not a minister of the gospel, there are days, see, every minister of the gospel had a time he sat down and said, I wish I was a regular member. There are difficult moments. Especially for me, as I was growing up, I was sharing devotional, going everywhere, preaching, fire, everywhere. Then when Satan is trying you and you are, it seems like he's prevailing a little bit, one picture will be painted before you. What if I fall today? All this thing I've done in the barrack, all this preaching, everywhere, preaching Jesus. What will people say? Only the picture will make you scared. Do you know that fear will sustain your Christianity for a while? But it's not supposed to be like that. At a point again, you'll be tired. Ha, God, can I really do this? So we had difficult moments like that. Are you listening to me? You can't be doing everything. You can't do everything everybody is doing. You know, let me chip in this. If you are a man of God, a minister of the gospel, and the reason why you don't want to sin is because of what people will say. If that's why you don't want to sin, right? At the end of the tunnel, you will not see light. It's darkness. You will sin. If that's the reason why you are sustained in holy living today, you will eventually sin one day. Because that's a wrong foundation to start. You see, the way you teach people their place in Christ, this revelation must be the reason why you are standing. You must be standing on Christ, not anything emotional. What if I fall? What will people say? You will definitely fall. What if there's nobody to say anything bad about you? Will you want to stand? Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. Everybody should learn this. Don't try to live holy lives because of you are scared of what people will say about you. It is wrong. You cannot be sustained for a long time in Christianity. Before you know it, you'll be swayed to the side. What will people say? Now that I'm a Christian, sometimes you are not even a minister of the gospel yet. You are just a Christian. People never thought that you'd be a Christian, and somehow 1 year, 2 years, you made it as a Christian. You were able to be sustained as a Christian. And here are you at some junction in your faith walk. You are tired. How many of you have been tired sincerely before? Can I see your hands up? You were just tired. Say, God, I'm tired. Tired. I want to be free. Satan will make you believe that that's freedom. I want to be free. And you know, he will paint some picture for you. Say, look at this guy. Look at the guy. You know, if you look at people, you know, I don't want to call names, but some of us who have been in the faith for a while, if you look at people who seem to want to live Christianity like that, especially in the Western world, most of them are nowhere to be found again. They are not in the limelight. You see them, they just come, live anyhow, put tattoos everywhere, they'll be doing like one Michael Jackson, gospel Michael Jackson. Before you know, you don't see them again. Is it that divorce? Is it that one scandal? Is it that what? They'll just go up. Nobody is hearing about them again. Except one day, one coming up artist will now feature them and resurrect them from the dead. That's when you know that these people were existing before. Why would somebody sing and all of a sudden, nowhere to be found? How many times have they caught some ministers of the gospel? I don't want to say just gospel ministers. Gospel singers, I mean. Some ministers of the gospel, whether gospel or, but chiefly more of gospel we have seen, in all honesty, is the truth. It's not more of gospel we have seen or heard. As gays, some of them, they didn't catch them. They even confessed that they were gays. I hope you know that the person that sang, oh Jesus Christ, that one hits me so hard. The person that sang, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I had to go and do, when I heard this, the news, I said, let me go and check before I come and say something rubbish. Because I was wondering, look at the connection, the song. It does not connect to somebody backsliding. This is a national anthem. For most Christians, they wake up, I pledge. The person that wrote that pledge has become gay. We've lost him. He married a man. Now hear those deep words. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my life, with all my... I remember those days when we sing it, we'll be crying. The person who the Lord inspired that song through is now gay. Now, I'm saying all of this is not to weaken your faith. We are going somewhere. Are we together? If your faith is on a man and you hear that the person that wrote that powerful song is now gay, you'll be wondering, me where God no won't give the song. What am I? Gabriel. Funny. And many testimonies like that. What of this young man? Promising young man. Hallelujah. What's that his name? Jota. Young cute guy. How many of you remember you crushed on him that year, right? All right. Many years ago, that guy, I think around 5, 6, 7, 10 years ago, if I can remember vividly, that guy came out and wrote a song. Not that he wrote a song. He covered that song. Huh? It was everywhere. How many of you did special number for that song? Exactly the way the guy did it. He went to do special number. Many people. Have you heard of the guy lately? You know, if that guy was still there, right now he should be one of the top gospel artists. You understand what I'm trying to say? In the class of probably the Nathaniel Basses, and because he's been there for a long time, even before their Moses Bliss came to the limelight. But where is that guy today? I saw a video where the guy is doing like this. Like a woman. I'm trying to mock. We are going somewhere. Behaving like a woman. He said he wants to be identified as a woman now. That's somebody that sang the Lord. He sang the Lord's song. He said he wants to be identified. We're not trying to mock. We're going somewhere. It can be anybody without the right revelation. Are you all listening to me? He's currently behaving like a woman. In fact, he said he wants to be identified as a woman. Not even only in wrong characters. How many times have we seen pastors write? There are pastors that have committed suicide. Are you aware? Yes. Pastors commit suicide. They write that their members are like devils and they are not worthy of this kind of people. Yes. You people have killed pastors. That all the things, they sacrifice their life for these people and these people are still ungrateful. They are still wicked. And they wrote that, okay, it's better for me to just leave the earth. And they kill themselves. And the members still have the impetus to go for the burial. There are several events like that. Lately, I think I saw a gospel artist who came out on the news and said he's tired. He wants to rest for a while. That he has been struggling with things internally while he's singing and receiving all the awards, but people are not aware. But he just wants to rest. He will not disclose what he's struggling with, but he wants to rest for a while. You know, many years ago, I wasn't perfect from the day I was giving birth to. I didn't have it cool like you were hearing me from when I became born again. It was not just smooth. Of course, there were ups and downs. Do you guys get what I'm trying to say? So I can't claim that that's always been cool and etc. But listen carefully. Many years ago, the Lord showed me something about the revelation of Jesus. And he said, remove emotions. It's just like a lady, for instance, or a guy that falls in love. How many of you have fallen in love more than 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, and 5 times? If you are falling in love like 5 times, can I see your hands? Be very sincere. Like 5 times, can I see your hands? No, be sincere. There's nothing there. People, okay, your wife is pointing you. Have you? It's his wife that pointed him, so I have to pick him. Have you fallen in love like 5 times? All right, sit down. Thank you for your sincerity. I'm sure there are a lot of people who are falling in love with people that don't even know they are falling in love with them. They didn't even have the impetus to tell them. You know that some of you that are falling in love with somebody in your class in secondary school, they did not notice today. They still have they have children in your front. You are seeing them kurukuru. These were your love that time. People have, and for those that haven't told the people that I'm in love with you, you are in love with the first person, he broke. Second person, he broke. You have right, the impetus to fall in love again. Third person, he broke. Fourth person, now again you say you are in love with how? This your love, how many do you have in your soul? You see, that's when a relationship is baseless if it's predicated upon emotions. it becomes useless. That's how serving God is. You cannot be emotional serving God. How many times have you told Jesus, I love you, I will not sin the sin again, yet you did the sin? And while we were growing up, I remember one of my friends sharing with me, he said, he would swear and say, Jesus, if I do it again, oh, Baba, kill me. They think they are impressing God. Then do now. He said one day, he sinned a certain sin. Then he went to take his bath. As he went to take his bath, rain just started falling heavily. Then he remembered the promise he made to God, that if he sinned again, God should kill him. The rain was so heavy, blowing the window, and they were hearing the wee. You know when rain breezes, wee. Then suddenly thunderstorm. Then Nipa took light. He now started telling God, I'm sorry. He said, now then, God, I'm sorry. I know I said you should kill me, but not this way, please. Give me some time. I'm still young. He was telling God. You know, sometimes I feel like God is catching fun in that. He will just be looking at our foolishness. So the day you said, God, kill me, you think God recorded that I will kill you. Hallelujah to Jesus. It's just foolishness. Especially for those folks that say they have a covenant with God. Hallelujah to Jesus. You can't have a covenant with God outside what Jesus has done. You rest on the new covenant, that you stand upon that new covenant that has been established through Christ Jesus. You can have a personal covenant with God. Are we together? Man of God, you can sit at the front. Hallelujah. Amen. You can have a personal covenant with God. Are we together? It must be predicated upon what Jesus has done. Glory to God forevermore. You know, have you seen people that talk like that before? I had a covenant with God that I will never blah blah blah, I will never do this blah 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 blah. Then after a while, their voice is reducing. Have you seen people like that? I had a covenant with God that I will never have anything to do with blah blah blah, ever have anything. Then after a period of time, you observe they don't talk about the covenant. I had a story of a dear lady. She said she had a covenant for purity, blah, 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 blah. And when she made a certain mistake, she cried and gave up on Christianity. You know why you give up on Christianity? Because it has always been by strength. So she gave up on Christianity and said she was not going to be a Christian again. And when her mentor preached to her, she now fired up and said, I'm going to be a tough Christian. So firstly, the covenant has broken, so we are not emphasizing the covenant. And now she's a tough Christian. And why she became tougher, she fell again. The same sin. She now went to her mentor and said, no, Jesus has given up on her. The mentor said, Jesus has not given up on you, blah, blah, advise her. She came again. She now became more serious and fell. Then she said, one day, she was studying the Bible and she understood grace. This was somebody that was against the grace message. But now she carries it on her head. That a thousand times God will still forgive me. You know what I'm trying to say by this is that sometimes some of the revelation we bump into is a function of experience. Now I'm not saying grace does not exist, but some of the extreme revelations of grace that we have is because of our emotions, our experience. We came emotional and we kind of created new revelations that don't truly exist. Things like whatever I do in the flesh does not matter. It's not from the Holy Spirit. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Of course, it is a function of somebody who has tried, and is now tired. And has settled in his mind that, wow, I think whatever I do in the flesh does not matter. That's dangerous. Because the Bible said in a great house are several vessels. Some of what? NIV says some for normal purposes and some for what? Special use. And he said if a man purges himself of the latter, he becomes what? A vessel profitable for the master's use. Another part of scripture, 1 Corinthians 6:9 said, all forms of sin cannot inherit the kingdom. That simply means what you do in the flesh matters. What is the goal of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection if we don't subdue sin? The Bible says he came to save the people from their sin. In that our sins are forgiven, but we can still sin. It does not make any sense. Paul said, am I saying that you should keep on sinning? Blah, blah, blah in Romans 6. He said, God forbid. He said, how can we die? What? Dead to sin. So who is somebody that understands grace? A man that is what? Dead to sin and cannot continue in sin. Romans 6 and 6, 6, it says, 6 and 7, it says, they that have died in Christ are freed from sin. Past tense, they are free. You get so emotional sometimes. You know, you have men of God say this like this. Sometimes who can boldly stand up here and tell me he has not sinned today? What kind of a statement is that? The Bible says we don't have a Savior, Jesus, who is ignorant of what the feelings of our infirmity. If it was impossible for man to live in this world and live above sin, then Jesus would have been subjected to sin. He came in the fallen nature, lived above sin. Are you listening to me? And the Bible says we don't have a Savior who is ignorant of the feelings of our infirmities, yet he lived above sin. Meaning all the trials and temptation you are feeling today, you will feel tomorrow. Jesus felt it. Yet he lived above sin, showing you that you can feel these trials and temptation and yet live above sin. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? It's so basic and simple in scripture. Verse 6 of in the Amplified Edition said, that old body of sin, the body that could support sin, that is without the Holy Spirit, was what? Nailed to the cross with him. There was a body that supports, let me speak in physics terms, the free flow of sin. That was the old body of sin. It supported the free flow of sin. Sin can't happen with that body. Are we together? But Jesus came and nailed that body to the cross and gave us a new body. New body, not because we will not find some scars in our that was in the old, in our old world. You know, Jesus has some scars. He came resurrected and still had that same scar. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? But the ability of the body is entirely new. Are you listening to me? Even though the scar is there, there's no effect. He said, "Took your hand, touch it. Is this not where you nailed me?" So we can trace the effect of what Satan did on that guy before. You guys get what I'm trying to say? Maybe physically, we can see the mark where he used to smoke. His lips is black, very black. But right now, the guy does not smoke again because he's a new man. Are you guys get what I'm trying to explain to you? In order that our body of sin might what? Be done away with, so that we will no longer be what? Slaves to sin. See it in the TBT rendition. Could it be any clearer that our former identity is now and forever deprived of its power? For we were co-crucified with him to dismantle the strength of sin within us, so that we would not continue to live one moment. One what? Submitted to what? Sin's power. In Romans 8 and 3, let's see it briefly. Romans 8 and 3. Let me see how the TBT puts it. I don't think I've really seen it here. For God achieved what the law was unable to accomplish, because the law was limited by the weakness of human nature. Beautiful. It was limited. Why? Don't do that, don't do this. But because of the power of sin in the old man, you know, that body that was done away with, the law could not achieve anything. Yet God sent us his son in human form to identify with human weakness. You see that? Clothed with what? Humanity. God's son gave his body to be the sin offering, so that God could once and for all condemn the guilt and the power of sin. In the NKJV rendition, NKJV, it says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son and the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. What did he do? He condemned sin, even sin in the flesh. He destroyed sin. The law could not do it. That's why Jesus said, I've not come to destroy all the regulations of the law. He said, I've come to what? Fulfill it. The word fulfill is chata in Greek. It means to fulfill the intention, the intent of the law. The law wanted to make people live above sin. Even though the intention, you know, the people felt like that was the reason for the law. But the intention of the law was not to make people live above sin. It was to show people how sinful they were. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? He said, but Jesus achieved it. By his grace. So grace is not some light thing like ice cream. Grace is very powerful and very fireful. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? The death of Jesus, the burial of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus. A lot of things happen at the back end. While he was dying on the cross, while he was being buried, a lot of things were happening in the heavenlies. We saw a fair portion of those things in the book of Revelation. The Bible speaks, it said John, while he was mourning the church because of some of the wrong things that were happening to the church, the wrong testimonies, the Bible said God speaking to him, showed him a vision. He saw a lamb standing as if it was what? Now, before he even saw that, he saw an angel, the Bible calls him a big angel, was shouting and saying, who is able to break the scroll and open its seals, its seven seals? And the Bible said, none in the heavens and on the earth were worthy to do that. And John began to cry because he knew in his spirit that that was what would determine the solution for the church in those days. And you guys get what I'm trying to say? And he began to weep. The Bible said, one of the elders said, do not cry. He said, for the lion of the tribe of Judah has what? Prevailed. And the Bible said, when he turned to see a lion, that was his expectation. He wanted to see the lion, Agabada. Sorry, Agabajuda. The Bible says he saw a lamb standing as if it was slain. I wonder how the disappointment would be. But that's a victory. That's overcome the world. That's how Jesus won the victory. You know, that's difficult for many Christians. God is a lion, blah, blah. But how do you step and begin to walk in this victory, enter into this victory? By understanding the cross. That's why Paul said the cross is foolishness to those that feel they are intelligent. Doesn't make sense. How do we walk in this victory? He said, look at the cross, see the slain lamb. That's what happened. When he saw the lamb standing as if it was slain, that was a symbol of victory for the church. So if you really want to walk in glory, understand the cross. You must understand the back end of everything that happened, not just what you are saying. Jesus died. Why did he die? Paul said that I may know him in Philippians. He said, and the power of his resurrection. So knowing him does just not stop by, you want to know God. It's not possible to know God without understanding the power of his resurrection. If you don't understand the power of his resurrection, you can't know him. Because he is revealed in the resurrection. Are you listening to me? Jesus before resurrection and Jesus after resurrection are not the same. 2 Corinthians 5 and 16 says it all. He said in John, I think 15, he said, Father, bless me. Is it John 15 or John 5 or John 7? Bless me with the glory I had with you before the world was. There was an intensity of glory he had before the world was. He didn't walk in that glory like TPT rendition told us of Romans 8, 3. He came in human nature. So that intensity of glory was not using it upon the face of the earth. He said, bless me with that glory. At a point he said, the hour has come. The time has been fulfilled. Blah, 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 blah. And when he died, was buried, resurrected, he entered again into that full glory he had before stepping into the world. And wearing our weak nature of sin. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:16, he said, therefore, now we regard no one according to the flesh. He said, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, we've known before. He said, yet now we know him thus no longer. Are you seeing this? Who is Jesus according to the flesh? Jesus before resurrection. Who is Jesus according to the spirit? Jesus after resurrection. The name of Jesus, his true name is the Christ. That's why we call him Jesus the Christ. The anointed one. Are you listening? Now that Jesus resurrected, it's your own mirror, should be your mirror, not Jesus before resurrection. It is Jesus after resurrection. That's why he said, greater things you will do because I go to the Father. That's not just what he meant. Now that he's going to the Father, you are seated together with him at the Father's right hand, but operating upon the face of the earth. So he expects greater things because he did not use that intensity of glory like he had before the world was while he was walking upon the face of the earth. Did you get what I just said? He operated from our nature of sin, and yet he did these great and wonderful things he did. He was not subject to sin, remember. He only wore the nature. Hallelujah to Jesus. So a lot of things happen at the back end of Jesus' death, his burial, and what? Resurrection. I would say grace, we are not saying something that sounds like ice cream. You know, many people... Right now in New Testament, 21st century, when we say grace, they think it's freedom to live anyhow. You know, someone is saying, Calvary covers it all, and the nose ring as a guy is here. And there are 2 ears. He has bought two parts of his ears. And it's to dye your hair. Now we're not trying to condemn, but if you think that's all to what Jesus have done, then you've missed it. So we think we have so much freedom in the New Testament because the blood covers, so we can do anything. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? And that's what we have. And we're shouting that the church should not be legalistic. But those fathers of faith are looking at us and wondering, even though we don't understand all this revelation these young people are saying, what is the meaning of a young man blowing his nose? If it is how this revelation is teaching them, they now believe these are doctrines of devils. That's why they have no respect for the younger generation, most of them. The proof that the Holy Ghost is in greater intensity with them is nothing about the miraculous power, holy living, is about hearing and dying of hair. You know, I heard somebody saying, God is raising a generation of people with ripped jeans and dyed hair. I said, it's your generation of people you raise. He said, there's a revival coming, and the people that will be shocked. They will have ripped jeans, their hair. I hope some of you have not prepared your ripped jeans, because you are thinking you are part of that revival. That's rubbish. When Jesus came to the earth, he did not look anyhow. He looked nice. The Bible did not say Jesus was looking tattered in scripture. He wore nice clothes. When he even died on the cross, the Bible said they tore his cloth to sell pieces of it. Wonderful cloth. The Bible does not say Jesus is, you know, John the Baptist, they said there's a way he looked. And yet, we are not saying John the Baptist is a bad person. They say he went to the wilderness, he ate this. They never said that about Jesus. He ate normal food. He behaved normally. He did not give his name, he did not give himself an ambiguous name to prove he was God. I told you that before. Livro Hansambandin Jesus. His name is just Jesus. Simple. We did not hear that before he got anybody's eye open. He said, Peter, round him. And he held the bed. And he did like this. We did not say anything like that. It was simple. Your faith has made you whole. Who touched me? Your faith has made you whole. Simple, simple things. Saw Zacchaeus on the tree. He said, oh, come, let's go and eat in your house. Very simple. Loving. Nothing ambiguous. That's why I said we can live divinity in simplicity. You see all this ambiguous spirituality, you know, making it look like that's what will make you know God. And there's somebody, the guy is spiritual. Then he's like, no, Jesus walked normal. The Bible not say, and Jesus walked by like he had hunchback. No. Nobody prayed like Jesus, yet he didn't walk like he had hunchback. You know, some of you are offended if they don't call. You may even seem to be offended if you are not called certain names. You know, when they start calling you apostle, you begin to appreciate honor. Apostle courage, oh, bless you. And that's why they want to prove themselves anytime they are on the podium. I was with the Lord 7 hours before, and the Lord was speaking some things to me that he didn't permit me to share to the lay faithfuls. You know, one time I was in a meeting, the man said, there are some things God said I should not tell you. I went to the third heavens and I saw them. Things no eye can see. The Bible says God has prepared for those who would love him. And you know where they are misunderstanding this from? From what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12. That he was caught up in the heavens. That their rapture doctrine. I've come again. Can I continue? Yeah. That their rapture doctrine. See, Christianity is not ambiguous. The Lord told me years ago, living what? I remember years ago, an apostle asked me in Kaduna, he said, Simon. I said, yes, sir. He said, who can live divinity in simplicity? I said, from me, sir. People prophesied my falling away. You know, the great falling away, like people prophesied it. So that's Simon, just warn him. He's going to fall soon. So he will fall soon. I've been preaching. Some of them, their ministry have closed. I'm still preaching. Because I never trusted in my ability. I knew I was not going to fall. We don't live by fear, we live by faith. And faith is not just being optimistic. It is predicated upon revelation. Well, I'm not just talking. I read before I spoke. Bible said he has said so that we may what? Boldly say, not timidly say. If you speak it timidly, it's not faith. We live by faith and not by sight. And so that's where they misunderstood it from. 2 Corinthians 12. Paul said, I was caught up. That's where they got the rapture doctrine from. I was caught, you know, I said, I don't believe in rapture. It caused a lot of chaos. I still don't believe in it. But I believe in the second coming. And if you believe in the rapture, it's fine. We are not enemies. That's just the two things we don't agree with. And I have my reasons. When I did my study very well, I found out that the idea of rapture, it's not the way the Bible paints it. They said in Matthew 24, like it happened in the days. Now, when I look at context, I even saw that they were not talking about rapture. Is it just like it happened in the day of Noah, so will it happen in the coming of the Son of Man? So I saw coming of the Son of Man. I did not see rapture there. Then they said two will be in the field, two will be in the granary, one will be gone, one will remain. You know, two will be doing this, two will be doing that, one will be, you know, one will be gone, one will remain. And I now check carefully. In the days of Noah, which people left the earth? The righteous or the unrighteous? Answer boldly, guys. In the days of Noah, which people left the earth? The righteous or the unrighteous? In the days of Noah, which people remained the earth? The righteous or the unrighteous? They said Noah is a preacher of righteousness. How? Get into the ark, you'll be safe. If anybody be in Christ, is a new creation. So we are the ones that are safe. According to that power of scriptures, we're not going to be destroyed. They did not say that you'll be driving your car, you just disappear, your cloth will remain, then you two car will jump, boom. That's rubbish. It's not in the Bible. That's why it has not happened. They say it will happen 2013. It did not happen. They first said 2000. They sold all their property in 2000. It still did not happen. 2013, they were quite wise. They sold half. 2016, they prophesied it. Prophet Kubus did a meeting in 2015. When they said there's a rapture, he did a meeting that same day, all night. The next day, he said, oh, glory, we just survived another rapture. That's my room over there. He said so. I was watching the meeting. I began to laugh. And he's not trying to cause trouble. It's in the Bible. Went further to COVID-19 season. Oh my goodness, I almost fell a victim. How many of you were so sure rapture will soon happen during COVID-19? Don't lie. How many of you? It was looking like, oh, we missed that revelation. In fact, there were some videos indicating that Jesus was coming from the cloud. How many of you saw those videos? See him. He's coming. He's coming. He will come in Australia today. He will now come in Canada tomorrow. Fortunately, we didn't find him coming in Africa. I think probably we are. Those guys made a lot of money during that season. Oh my God. They just arranged the thing. He's coming. Look at him. Then turned out. They would love him. Oh, Jesus. We saw him. Can you see? You know? If it's not him coming, there will be a cloud formed like him. He'll do his hand like this. I'll be coming. There was a video, I don't know if some of you saw it. They say graves were scattered, emptied in one part of the world. They say that's the indication of the resurrection. The dead in Christ are putting on their flesh. How many of you shook that day? When I opened my Bible, Mama T asked me, there are some videos Mama T showed to me. I opened my Bible, I said, Mama T, considering what I read in the Bible, these things are junks. I was in Remedia when somebody came and prophesied rapture. She prophesied May 14th during that time. We're praying. She just came. Don't say the Lord. It's coming soon. Rapture will happen. May 14th. They wrote it down. I was in the meeting. Praying in the spirit. In fact, funny, they were even telling me not to pray in the spirit because I didn't have the interpretation of the prayer. So I was praying in my mind. She was caught up. You know that those prophecy where I see. You know those things. And while she was saying, they were writing. Guess what I did? I was waiting for May 14th. When we entered May 15th, and I called some brothers. I said, the rapture did not happen. Why are we doing like we did not hear what that lady say? Can some people call her to order and tell her that spirit in her lied is not the Holy Spirit? And we don't care whether you don't wear your ring. If you don't know the scriptures, Satan will use the ignorance in your heart to prophesy. I caught that yesterday. The Lord told me, he said, your level of revelation determines your level of understanding in the realm of the spirit. You see, many people, because of their level of revelation, when they see light, they interpret it in the light of that level of revelation they have. So you can see wrongly in the realm of the spirit and just give it your own interpretation because of your level of revelation. The Bible said in the book of Romans, Hebrews 5, around 11 down to 14, it said when one is skilled in the word of righteousness and his senses are exercised, he can come to that point where he can tell the difference between what wrongs and what rights. So when you understand the revelation of Jesus so much, you are fortified, capacitated to that point where you can discern what is wrong from what is right. When you see people discerning wrongly what is wrong from what is right, it is because of they have an insufficient level of revelation. So sometimes you don't even blame them. The rapture doctrine came many years ago through a young lady. They didn't see it from the Bible. It was a lady who saw people flying. And she told to her pastor. Her pastor took it to another person. That's how they now, you know, found a way to join it with scriptures. And we have it today. And, you know, Prophet Kobus asked a question. And I'm asking, if all these years we've been prophesying a rapture and we didn't see it, it's not a proof that we should probably have the flip side of the coin? I believe in the second coming. Somebody say, how would the second coming happen? Why are you asking me? I don't know. But I believe in the second coming. Something will happen in the twinkle of an eye. Are you people get down trying to explain to you? But I don't believe that people will just be sitting in this church and they'll just go naked to heaven and leave their clothes. Why? As he's there now, cloth, whoop. I never saw it in the Bible. And like I was saying, 2 Corinthians 12, Paul speaking there, I was caught up. That's another word for rapture they took, caught up there. I asked in a forum of theologians, I used to be in that group online, I asked them, if you say this scripture is part of rapture doctrine, simple and short, can somebody be raptured and live to tell the story? I don't know that you are getting what I'm trying to say. Paul wrote that he was caught up. He didn't know whether he was in the spirit or in the flesh, but he saw things that his mouth could not... he saw things that were not lawful, sorry, to be said. And I asked the question. So, when I'm caught up, or when I'm raptured, I will not be telling people, I was raptured around 2:13. So, people are looking at me now, still on the earth, but I'm writing to them that I was raptured. I asked that question. I don't know that you people are getting on trying to explain to you. This is 1 Corinthians 4. Or 5. The context of that scripture is not rapture. Rapture is concerning the dead. I do not want you to be what? Ignorant. They are asleep. You will meet them on resurrection morning. All the people that died that are Christians, you will see them again. And they will reign on the earth together with us. You see, this earth is where we are supposed to be from the beginning. God does not change his plan. Adam leave heaven on earth. At the end, what will happen is that man will leave what? Heaven on earth. The dead in Christ shall be the first to put on their flesh, and they shall reign on the earth, Revelation 5 and 10, forever. You see, this earth will live for it. We'll live on this earth forever. Like he wanted it. If Adam never made a mistake, he'll be on the earth forever. God never created one day in your life and say you'll be 6 feet under the ground. It was Satan that brought death. Because Adam disobeyed God. He said, the day you eat from this tree, what will happen? You'll die. Somebody said, but he didn't die that day. Of course he died that day, because he died spiritually first. Then he died physically. Just that, like Jesus died spiritually before he died physically. Are we together? So the resultant effect of the physical death was the spiritual death. He died. And that's why it now resorted to physical death. That's why death is never from God. God can allow it because probably you broke the edge and maybe some sort of one, two, or three activities that I cannot explain right now. You guys get what I'm trying to say? You know, sometimes you break the edge, you may be disobedient, you may go to the wrong place, you may get involved in the wrong things. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And sometimes some reasons I can't really explain to you right now. But death is not from God. It is the enemy that has come to what? Steal. And to what? And to what? It's Satan that always brings death. That's why you have a problem with witches and wizards. What do they want? They want you dead. And that's why you have to be a Christian on fire. Touch your neighbor. Say, be a Christian on fire. touched them on the shoulder and I said, be a Christian on fire. I told you on Sunday that the purpose of Christianity is not to fight Satan. But you see, if you know Christ, you cannot die by Satan. No witch or wizard can kill you. It's not possible. You see, they can't be our emphasis, yet they can't touch us. See, but Samuel, you don't emphasize witches and wizards. Are you sure we'll not start praying against them? You've not seen... No, people of God. You see, we don't fight. The weapons of our warfare, the Bible said, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to pulling down strongholds. It didn't stop there. The Bible said, we should fight the good fight of faith. And if there's a good fight of faith, there's a bad fight of faith. What is the end of the good fight of faith? To lay hold of eternal life. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Whatever Jesus has done on your inside, walk it out with fear and trembling. It has no business with Satan. As long as you are a light so shining, no darkness can come around you. By default, like Kenneth Hagin would say in one of his books, I think Believer's Authority, he said, when you submit to God's dealings with the Holy Spirit fully, and you are growing and glowing in the Spirit, say, by default, you stand as a terror to the devil. By default, Satan is running away from you. Miles from you is running away. Some of these demons, the reason why they are still killing is because they've done one or two times and they succeeded. So they think Christians can be killed. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Because you can be going to a church and not be full of the fire of the Holy Spirit. We are not praying in tongues to kill witches. But if you are truly praying in tongues, witches cannot even have the impetus to come close to you. I don't know that you guys are getting what I'm trying to explain to you. It's a shame. And I tell you, even if you get to heaven, because some witches have taken some people to heaven, early heaven experience is the truth. When you get to heaven and God showed you that you were killed by a witch, even you will not be happy. It's wrong. Because he has given us the privilege to walk our salvation out. Are you listening to me? Walk it out. Jesus did not die, was buried, resurrected, so that a witch will kill you. Oh my God. Tell somebody, God forbid. He didn't die for you to be killed by a witch or by a wizard. You know, many years ago, sometimes when that consciousness of fear is coming, how I deliver myself is by not obeying anything I wanted to do in fear. Let me give you an instance. One day, my shoes were outside, and I wanted to get inside. I said, oh, this one, I've been having attacks. Like, let me just carry my shoe before somebody will come and put. The thought just came to my head before somebody will come and put charm. As I wanted to touch it, the Holy Spirit said, why are you carrying it? I said, because I couldn't even answer. So I left it there. And I entered and, because we are giving Satan some assumptions. Now I'm carrying it, and because you have probability to touch me. How many of you have done probability mass? You have the potency, the probability to touch me. That's why I'm carrying my shoe and hiding it. You want cloth? Come and take cloth. I don't know that you are getting what I'm trying to explain to you. Then Paul said, let me speak to them that have knowledge. The food given to idols, are they not supposed to be eaten by us? They said they carry your cloth somewhere, you are gyrating, you can't sleep. You know, I told you a story as a student, they stole one of my shorts. And when they stole it, my neighbor came and said, Pastor, they stole your shirt. And that was when Yahoo just started. At the early stage that time. You see, people are using it to make money. They'll go and use it, and money will become, I said, from my shirt. I don't understand the connection between shirt and money. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? They will say rubbish, you will believe it will happen. It's my shirt. How can you carry my shirt to a shrine? And money will be coming out from my shirt. It's not possible. In Abuja, a pastor, is one of his boys in church was going somewhere. That time they were carrying people's this thing. So, the Lord give you understanding. So he was going somewhere. They carried this thing. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Somebody touched him somehow. He just discovered, I don't have again, oh. He started crying. Yeah, some of you that want to be Holy Ghost eunuch, I wonder why they even cry. Because maybe he would have said, oh, Father, I thank you. It's time to serve you better. He started crying. There was a rumor, not a rumor, a true life story in Nasarawa. They stole her husband and she started crying. Why are you alone now? Why are you alone? You know, so the young man called his pastor. It was the pastor that was saying this. He called his pastor. And when he called his pastor said, where are you? Come to my office. He came to the office. Hallelujah to Jesus. The Bible said, you say they have taken you? He said, yes. He said, really? Put your hand there. He put his hand there. In the name of Jesus, lay hands on him. Did this thing came back? If you are not spiritual, some of you start looking for anybody that is suspect. Imagine you're a military man, they carry you. You say, block everywhere. Bastards. And you see, most of these guys, no matter how you beat them, they will not. They will not succumb. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? They will never succumb. The pastor laid hands, it came back. Imagine you are not full of the fire of the Holy Spirit. Some of you that I'm talking to now that don't want to be real Christians, you don't want to pray in the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem, there's a reason. Until you have been endured with what? Power from the Holy Ghost, from on high. It is important you are filled with the Holy Spirit to be an effective Christian. And it came back. That is why you have to be a Christian on fire. So, my conclusion is this. We in the New Testament, we don't understand grace or claim to understand grace, should not prove it by worldliness. Of course, we should desire to see greater move of the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says if the minister of condemnation was glorious, he said the minister of the righteous what? Excels in glory. Are you listening to me? So don't be a part of those people that prove they are New Testament Christian by putting on earrings, dressing anyhow, dying. Don't be a part of those folks. Only see Jesus. Jesus is your standard, not any man. Are you listening to me? He is your standard. Walk out your salvation. He has given you everything for life and godliness. And it's beautiful that in this New Testament, 21st century, revelation is plenty. See all the beautiful things we have seen in Scripture. Walk it out. What we have seen as revelation, they were not privileged to see some of our fathers of faith. And let's prove to them that what we know is true. By striving to walk out our salvation with what? Fear and trembling. I've shown you a lot of things that explain grace. Did you see anything like sin there? 1 John 3 and 9. It said if you are born of God, you cannot sin. Straight. 1 John 3 and 6. It said if you know me or have seen me, you cannot continue in your sin. You see that? Romans 6 and 8. What did he say there? It says, Romans 6 and 8. It says, now if we die with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Next part of scripture. It says, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. Next part of scripture. For the death that he died to sin once and for all, but the life that he lives to God. Next part of scripture. Likewise, you also. Are you here? Give me the TPT, it's better there. Let's read together, everybody. So let it be the same way with you. Since you are. You must view yourselves as what? And what? Unresponsive to sin's appeal. While living for God's daily pleasure in union with Jesus, the anointed one. View yourself. Very important. Have that consciousness. I'm unresponsive to sin's appeal. There, Jesus. That's powerful. That's powerful. Firstly, we have recognized when you encounter grace, you know that it is by only God that you can do something. Of yourself, you can do nothing. If anybody said I was not a sinner, then the truth is not in him. And he's a liar. For we that are sin, we can't sin. It is because the truth is in us. And we're admitting that before the truth came to us, we're sinners. But now that the truth of God is in us, we declare we are the righteousness of God. Are you listening to me? Grace has appeared to us. Teaching us, modifying us, capacitating us as a people that can say no to all of Satan's appeal for sin. We can't sin. You see, you must be bold about it. That's faith. Fear is maybe I may sin. Mm-mm. That's why we have Saturdays for confession, because we are not sure. The Bible says if you are born of God, you cannot sin. 1 John 3 and 9. Say it like that. I was sharing my experience. I said, when I was growing up, I said to myself, it's better to run away now. This thing cannot work. Satan will try to convince you to make sure you come to terms that living for God is not possible. Sometimes you will make terrible mistakes. He will begin to define you from your mistake. That's all to you. That's all to you. You stole. That's all to you. You are a thief. You cannot be the righteousness of God. He will try everything with guilt to make sure you remain where you are, that level of your sin. He told Adam, you are naked. You are useless. Blah, 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 blah. God came and said, Adam, where are you? He said, I'm hiding. Blah, blah, blah. God said, why? He said, because I'm naked. And God said, who told you? You see that? He disobeyed God and he sinned. Death does not to live according to the flesh, that's part of scripture, because if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Death does to by your spirit mortify. That's why Paul said, if a man purges himself from the latter, he said, you can purge yourself because you've got the Holy Ghost and you've got revelation. You know what Jesus said in John 5? He said, he told the 12 in verse 3. He said, you are made pure. John 15, sorry. He said, because of the truth that is in you. So you've got the truth of God's word because you have the Holy Spirit. So you can purge yourself. You can purge yourself. We've got revelation. We can purge ourselves. Oh, glory to God. How do you purge yourself? Your words. Your words. You begin to speak life. Every time you have the opportunity, Jesus as a man had to pray to teach us something. As men, we must pray, ought we are fainting, ought we are weaklings. Are you listening to me? He prayed. He prayed. Early in the morning, midnight, he will pray. For us, anytime we find the opportunity, we ought to pray. Speaking God's word. I'm born of God. I'm born of God. So basic yet so basic yet very powerful. Forget all those ambiguous, unnecessary revelations. I'm born of God. I've overcome the world. The greater one lives in me. The Bible speaking in 1 John 3. It says, beloved, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we be called sons. In verse 2 then it says, let me see it very fast. Verse 2. It says, beloved, now we are children of God and it has not yet been revealed. The word revealed there is phanero. It has not yet been unraveled what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, not futuristic, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. Not futuristic because we all with open faces are beholding as in a mirror what? The glory of the Lord. So not futuristic, but by revelation through the Holy Spirit. Next part of scripture. Then it says, and everyone who has this hope, this blessed assurance, this surety in him, purifies himself even as he is pure, just as Jesus is pure. You catch the revelation of Jesus because you've seen him by the Holy Spirit. What do you do with that revelation? Purify yourself. So Paul said, purge yourself from the latter. Paul also said, we are debtors because our bodies have been mortified. He said, by our spirit, mortify the desires of the flesh. You see that? You have to work out your salvation. Living above sin, you work it out. You work it out yourself. Jesus has paid the price, fine. And when sin hits you, you probably, I warned you, what is happening? Then you just stumble on one revelation because you already have itchy ears. You want to hear what you want to hear. Listen, whatever you do in the flesh does not matter at all. And before you know it, Satan hits you in this way, hits you in that direction, hits you because why? You've paid way for him by sin. Jesus came to deal with sin. My sins are forgiven, not just that. My nature of sin has been destroyed. That body that supports the free flow of sin, Romans 6 and 6, has been nailed back to the cross. And it is done away with. We have a new body. You see, as we bore the image of the first man, so are we bearing, 1 Corinthians 15, the image, so are we bearing present continuous. We are bearing the image of the second man. Glory to God. We are not like the first man. We are like the second man who is resurrected at the Father's right hand and we are seated together with him. So you confess God's word. You don't just leave the revelation to slide. You confess God's word. You wake up in the morning, oh, my day is full of glory. I only see Jesus. He's my perfect mirror. In the name of Jesus, I've been bought with a price. I have his divine nature. A partaker of his divine nature. Wow. Powerful. You are a partaker. These are the things you need to talk about. Leave the consequences to Him. You see, when you confess these sins, don't try to stop sin. When you just speak it and speak it and speak it, by default, sin is being repelled from your life. It's not your duty to try to stop sin. Just confess the right thing. See the right pictures. And that's all. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, identity fuels character. It is who you see yourself like that determines how you act. You know, my small of blessed memory said the greatest crisis on the earth is not religious crisis. It's not any other thing. He said it is identity crisis. People are struggling with identity and Satan is fighting to make sure they don't realize who they are. That's why sometimes he comes to alter our revelation. Stain our revelation. I'm looking for that scientific word, but I can't find it. It comes to stain our revelation. And that's why Paul in Ephesians 1 and 18 said, pray that you may know. The word know there is epignosis. He said, when they were born again, he said, I pray that you will come to know. And he explained all the things in the prayer he prayed. The word knowledge there is epignosis, accurate and precise knowledge. And somebody said, can we have an accurate, precise knowledge of God? Yes, you can. Because you are not trying to know Him by yourself. You are trying to know Him by the Holy Spirit, searches all things by verse 9, verse Corinthians 2. He searches all things, yea, the deep things of Christ. Did you see that? He searches all things, yea, the deep things of Christ. Then 11, who knows the heart of a man? I think 11. Who knows the heart of a man but the spirit of that man? In the same way, who knows the heart of God but the spirit of God? Then verse 12. He said, you have received the Spirit which is from God, that you may what? Know the things that Christ has freely given unto us. Then in verse 16, who knows the mind of Christ that He may instruct him? He said, we don't only know, we have. Sir, I have. You got to be bold. Bold about it. I have the mind of Christ. Jesus said, we have come to Mount Zion. We are not marching to Zion. In an innumerable multitude of angels. Wow. You don't stop there. You carry it on your head. I'm in an innumerable multitude of angels. Just like Elisha. There Jesus, in the Old Testament, all the soldiers surrounded everywhere. He was confident because there was something he knew. There was something he was seeing. He went beyond just head knowledge to revelation knowledge. The thing has gained ascendancy from his soul into his spirit. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He was not just a mental ascender like E.W.K. Young would say. He was not just excited with the knowledge. It has come to stay in his spirit. That was his synesis. That was what he lived with every day of his life. And while his servant was crying, Elisha was confident. He was still warming himself. He was okay. He was cool. And the servant was wondering, why will this man be excited, be normal amidst this kind of chaos? Why will he be? Because the master was seeing the angels. He couldn't even see the soldiers. There were so plenty the angels, he couldn't see the soldiers. That's how it is. When you set your eye on the glory, when you set your eyes on Jesus, He's a light so shining you cannot see any trace of darkness. You can't see any darkness in your life. You can't see sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? Say, I might sin. No, you might not sin. We only live righteously. Say, you mean as a Christian you will not sin? Don't be scared. Say, yes, as a Christian, I will not sin. Say, what of the flesh? Say, the flesh, that body of sin has been dealt away with. And by faith we believe we have a new body. And this new body does not support the free flow of sin. It has been quickened. We're not saying, it has been quickened. You can find the old scars, but the ability is different. He was crowned with thorns. He wore that crown, showing you that he is king over every thorn on your flesh. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Every trouble in your life, he's king over it. So I refuse to be troubled. For I've been delivered. I'm not trying to be delivered. I've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness and all of its effect. Into the glorious kingdom of light. I've been delivered. No fear in my part. No limitation in my part. No sin in my part. In the name of Jesus. In Him I live, breathe, and have my being. I see Him alone in my life. I'm confident. I'm full of faith. I can't fear. This is how you begin to work out your salvation. It's not you don't stop at just hearing me now in church. You go back home and make it revelation knowledge. Think about it. Imagine it. I showed you in Hebrew, most of the word for meditation is imagination. I showed you many Tuesdays ago, like 3 Tuesdays ago. Most of the word for meditation is what? Imagine. Meaning go back home and start imagining it. Have you been in that place before? If you imagine it so beautiful, then Satan will not tell you it's just imagination. Keep on imagining it. It's powerful. It's powerful. Just imagine yourself living like sin does not exist. You are picturing it as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Not as a man is experiencing in his life. As a man thinketh, you may be experiencing wrong things, but what are you thinking? Your experience should not determine your thinking. Because eventually your thinking will take you out from your experience. You must keep on insisting. I am who God says that I am. Keep on insisting. You know, many people have grown cold over the years. Their experience have altered their confession. They've stopped talking. Keep on talking God's word. Don't stop speaking God's word. Pastor Chris will say, if you stick with the word, you'll come out with a testimony. You must come out with a testimony. One time Pastor Chris teaching us, I think I was watching the clip, not there. He said, he was saying wrong confessions. And he started getting into a ditch, into a hole, I mean. Like a well, going deep and deep and deep. And all of a sudden, he changed his confession. I've been born again. The greater one lives in me. And he was coming out. Whoop! He just came out from the hole. He said, wow. So my words took me there. And again, my words took me out. You see that? Your thinking and your words are very important. They must even go hand in hand, homologio. The way you think in your heart is the way you must speak. If you say the wrong things, you'll be subjected. You are the only one that can give Satan the permission to deal with you. You heard a witch in your village wants to kill everybody. They've killed almost 5, 10, and it's your turn. Then if fear begins to come, it's because you are believing the wrong thing. Oh, there, Jesus, who are they? Who are they? Are you listening to me? And you see, how you take them off is not by some unnecessary prayers. You know, people don't understand that God is not involved in this unnecessary, I mean, the realm of this realm. No, no, it's not about realm and dimension. Mm-mm. Carry the Bible. Look at God's word. Speak it. The Bible says, speaking to yourself, singing to yourself. Speaking God's word. I've been born again. Think about it. Imagine it. Don't just sing it in hymns. Are you listening to me? I've been born again. You ask your wife. You ask your kids. Sometimes you go to the mirror and ask yourself. I do that a lot. I've been born again. And you know, don't just stop there. Understand what it means for to be born again. Nicodemus said, you mean I should get into my mom's womb again? He said, no, that's not that. Then when we read further in James 1, he said, you've been born again by the incorruptible seed of God's word. Meaning God's word, like the effect of water, has washed the old mentality and brought a new one on our inside. We have a new kind of thinking, different from the one we had when we were born into this world. That's what makes us born again. We don't think like human beings again. That's why Paul said we're like aliens that have hit the earth. He said, a spirit man is like a wind that blows on the north or the south. No one knows where it's coming from, and no one knows where it's going to. You are just unpredictable. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Born again. Born again by the incorruptible. It's an incorruptible seed of God's word. You can't be corrupted by Satan because your nature is incorruptible. He now said you are a partaker of his divine nature. These things are too powerful to fail. For you to fail. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He said, by the understanding of these great and precious promises, we have become what? Partakers. Firstly, he said, we have received all we will need for life and godliness, and have become partakers of his divine nature. Then he said, and have escaped. We are not trying to escape. Have escaped the corruption that is in the world through loss. See, as we are knowing the truth, it is setting us, making us free, sorry, not setting us free. We've been freed. We are just realizing our freedom as we read the scriptures. Wow. You can't sleep hearing this thing in a hurry. I'm a partaker of his divine nature. Years ago, people of God, I cried. I cried. I said, God, deliver me. I was telling you the story. And my eyes were open. I heard the word Christ audibly. I've heard God 2 times in my life audibly. I had Christ. I said, Christ? I've been hearing Jesus Christ every day. Jesus Christ every day. What is different? What is Christ? I was so scared in my room. I was playing keyboard and praying. And when I heard the word Christ, a bright light appeared. Pew! And immediately I carried my Bible. I carried my phone. I googled, give me scriptures on Christ. One of the first scripture I saw was Matthew 16, 16 to 18. Who am I? I said, Jesus is asking who he is. Interesting. He said, who do men say that I am? He said, you are one of the prophets. He said, all of you. He said, you are one of the prophets. Peter said, no, you are the Christus, the Son of the living God. I said, wow. Then he said, Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. I said, oh, there's something unique about the name Christ. So Jesus asked the question, who am I? If they knew him, he would have not said, who am I? Meaning his name is not Jesus. He is Jesus, who is the Christ. That's where the revelation begs from. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. I almost ran mad that day. He said, if I build my church on this revelation, he said, the gain, meaning there's something you have to understand about Jesus that you should build your life upon. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He said, the gate of hell cannot prevail. I checked the meaning of the word gate. According to their culture, the strength of a city is in a gate. Meaning the whole strength of hell. And I was wondering, God, is it only physical, spiritual? When I check according to history, there was a part of the city that they call gate of hell too. They were worshipping different gods. It's more like a JRE. They were worshipping different gods. All the high big men there. Jesus was like, see, this is the closest thing I can use to explain. The gate of hell. You see those people, their whole strength together cannot prevail against you if you are built upon me. I said, dear Jesus, we are not the one trying to escape them. We are strong. They can't prevail. The Bible said, they that believe the Lord are like what? They can never be shaken. Hey, I can never be shaken. That's my testimony. Are you listening to me? I can never be shaken. He has said so that we do not timidly say. What do we do? Boldly say. He has said we boldly say it. My response is, I can never be shaken. I refuse to be shaken. No matter the circumstance, the greater one lives in me. I've overcome the world and all the wickedness in the world. Oh, there Jesus, many years ago, I left from Pastor Chris. Suffered so much from critics. Never said a word. It was hard for me to learn that he never said a word. Never responded. The same people that criticized went back to say you are a general. Never said a word. All kinds of mockery. And yet the mighty things God is still doing with him. The greater one lives in me. The greater one lives in me. I've been born again. I've overcome the world. All of the wickedness and the witchcraft and the wizard and the witches, they can't come nigh me. You know, if they emphasize those things and there are some witches that have ranks, if you don't have some rank, you cannot. If they talk like that, fear will come. Faith does not come by hearing stories of witches. Faith cometh by hearing the revelation of Jesus. As you hear the revelation of Jesus, faith rises. If you hear stories of witches and the rest, fear comes. We are not here to market Satan's ability, for he has no ability. Before Jesus resurrected, he said, I've given you power over the power of the enemy. He had ability. When Jesus resurrected, he said, now all power and authority has been given unto me. Satan has got no ability. Oh, death, where is thy sting? And somebody said, I'm going to deal with you. Oh, Jesus. You said, there if you can. So why did you respond? You make the witches... You know, one time I was preaching a case. They said, we made the witches vex. Say, we should have not responded. The witches now will be angry with us. They will not try. I hope you know witches are more scared than you are. You don't understand that. You know, I called a man. There was a man who tried me. I told you people that the story. He came spiritually. And when I dealt with him, he came physically again. He couldn't prevail. So when I told him, I said, you are a wizard. He said, Prophet Simon is insulting. He said, you know, that thief that wants to steal our second land for parking space. So I said, you are a wizard. He was just, Prophet Simon said, I'm a wizard. And I said to him today, where in the office, I said, are you not a wizard? You are definitely a wizard. Argue that with me. All of them don't know. They are just in the office. We know you are a wizard. And if you come again in the message, I'll kill you. I'm a prophet. I don't say rubbish. If you think, go to the court and file a case against me that I called you a wizard. This one is spiritual affairs. Leave us in the realm of the spirit. I don't know. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You don't know that witch is threatening you. Wizard threatening you. I'm not a prophet that, you know, like I was explaining in the beginning of the service, somebody will come and say, I want to collect your land, you the righteous. You see, for fear of death, I'll leave it. Fear of death, does a man die twice? See, those that have died are free from sin. You come, you enter shrine. Probably we're naked in night and won't live on your waist and shake and dance. The herbalist gave you different assignment and exercise. And when you were done, you now thought that's what should give you confidence. See, I've said to some of you here that you are seeing this man with white shirt and trouser, and you watch Nollywood and see somebody carrying red all over and hitting something and then does not mean they are more powerful. That's just drama. We are seated together with Christ. Far above what? How far? Very far. Very far. You can't tell how far. That's why demons and wizards and witches end of function. We have to teach them a lesson. We've been called out from every tribe, people, and nation by the precious blood of Jesus. It's not carefulness that keeps you alive. It is faith. We live by faith. You think the people that died were not careful? Very careful. Those who threw fear for sin were held captive by the devil. Fear has killed a lot of people. Fear is a snare. Say, I'm going to fire him with a sickness. Fire you with a sickness? Then you want to eat. Then you hear it's a fast. They want to fire you. Mm-mm. There's a way you threaten that we'll have to eat akbu. Satan is not worthy of my fasting. I was talking to one of my friends, Zev, Captain Zev in Kaduna. We're talking about the issue. I said, you see, even if I refuse to pray for 3 years, that guy cannot even come nigh. Because the prayers I've done when I was growing up, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Are too much for him. I said, remember those who were praying? He was just laughing. We will pray, 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 pray. We will now be praying in the prayer for God to touch the prayer coordinator to stop the prayer. So after we asked, I said, after all this prayer, then one witch will kill me. Forget that matter. Let's talk about heavenly matters. Are you here tonight? So don't just be a Christian with makeup, lip gloss, pray in the spirit. Paul said, I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than ye all. I trained one of our ladies here. She had an experience one time. Her sister was really going through a lot. And I told her there's somebody. And the Lord opened my eyes. And I'm not always like that. And I saw one of their persons doing that thing to the sister. So I called her. I said, this is the person, blah, 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 blah. And when I told her hello, I didn't tell her to tell everybody in the family. I said she should pray as a gatekeeper in the family. When she started praying, the woman appeared to her in the vision. I said, you this teen. She called her a teen. Because she was really looking small. You know what I'm trying to say? Say, you are the one that want to stand on my way. And she came out of the vision and called me. I want to explain to me. I said, I told you. Now deal with her. Let her know you are not a teen. The Bible said we have the sword of the Spirit. Not just the shield of faith. Oh. And the day I know that faith can be a shield, I was so shocked. Faith is actually a shield too. Meaning, how do you keep yourself protected? Your words. Faith does not end in believing. You must speak out your faith. I've been bought with a price. Shield. God is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Shield. As you are talking like that, there's Odeshi happening. I've been surrounded by so mighty a cloud of witnesses. Like I told you on Sunday, it's not just angels that are around us. Father Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, they are around us. We have entered into that cloud of witness. Bible says we are surrounded by them. How we're enjoying their company is by having a consciousness that we know they are around us. If that consciousness is not there, they will not be aware. They are around us. And they are saying, move, Sonny. Move, Edward. Move. Get this job done. Get it done. The Bible said they are a cloud of witnesses cheering us on a journey that Christ is the beginning and Christ is the end. Meaning they are like telling us, run, run, run. You know, like Interhouse Sports. Get it done, get it done. They are not saying, come and get what I was doing before I'm continuing. They are like, continue, get it done. Jesus is the author and Jesus is the... Get it done. Not just cloud of witnesses, an innumerable multitude of angels. Wow. Mount up that consciousness. Then it was like a shield. It was like a shield. Glory, 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 glory. It was like a shield. Glory to God. Woo! You should be hearing testimony that I was flying and as I got to this house, I fell down. Boom! There's a consciousness that's created an atmosphere. Bro. Jubli. There's a consciousness created an atmosphere. You are in Mount Zion, the city of the Lord. An innumerable multitude of it. We are very dangerous. Are you hearing me? Then the Bible says you have the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. That one is in the offensive. You have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So I have the sword. You must speak God's word. Reaching God's word, you have the sword of the Spirit. You speak it out. In the name of Jesus, like Jonah would say to his brother, stand up and walk. See, he has paralysis. He says, stand up and walk. That's what I want to be hearing. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And his brother stood up and walked. Do you know how much their house would have been spending because of paralysis? He told his younger brother, stand up and walk. The boy stood up. Words. Words are spirit. And their life. Impartation came immediately on the legs. He said, I'm feeling weak. He said, stand up. You are strong. He insisted that the brother is strong. You all heard the testimony. That's how it's supposed to be. They say, mother, your mom has been hit with stroke. Ah, you are coming. I'm coming. Excitedly coming. Globarati Kasalia. You speak to that place. Exactly. Get out. And listen, when you notice it didn't work, let me give you a cheat code. Don't stop casting and hitting the devil. Go back to yourself. Work out your salvation. There's something that needs to be revealed. It's not Satan that is the problem. If you did it, it didn't work. Go back. Just say, give me some time. Like Daniel, just give us some time. Go inside. Don't do a bad fight of faith. Satan, leave. Speak to yourself. I know who I am. Lerebo shaka baba baba. Speak to yourself. When you are done talking to yourself, go back again. When you go back again, speak to it. It will hear you. Jesus explained faith like a servant. He said, which servant in the gospel, in the synoptic gospel, he said, which servant, which master would tell his servant to do something? And when the servant is done, he would say, thank you, thank you. It was only expected that the servant would do it. He was explaining faith like a servant. He said, that's how faith is. You speak the word and allow the consequences to happen by the Holy Spirit. Is standing by our side to bring his word to pass. If you have what it takes, it will happen. If it didn't happen, go and build up your most holy faith. No complain. No, Satan is a bad fight, bad market. Go inside. Oh, I know who I am. Insist. I know who I am. It didn't work. They say, God is doing that to teach us a lesson. That's rubbish. There's no lesson there. He said, God does not tempt with evil. That's what the Bible says in James 1. He said, if any man be tempted, he's tempted by his own. He created the situation for temptation, not God. Meaning you go back inside, you begin to speak to yourself. Libros Kapalia Cafe. I've been born again. Oh God, have selected me by his blood. In the name of Jesus, my sins are forgiven. I have a new nature. Oh, a glorious nature. And you take 1 or 2 days to fast. Build up that consciousness. You are not fasting. This kind, the contest was belief. Jesus said, this kind of faith, go ahead out not. No kind of demon. It was faith we're talking about. Jesus said, to release this kind of faith, you have to stay with the word. Much fasting and prayer. Meaning, stay in prayer. Stay in fast. What is prayer? Prayer in the root word is prosuche. It is becoming one with God's word. What God has said about you, you are praying it. I am who God says that I am. bought with a price. God's own, as you are speaking God's word, speaking, intermediating with all the wisdom of the Spirit, something is happening. Sometimes you don't wish like going on social media. It's fasting. And sometimes you don't feel like taking any food. You just wake up and say, I don't feel like eating. Don't cook for me. You are praying. And when you go back to that leg, it will hear you. It will hear you. He said, when you pray, believing you have received, you shall have. You know why you believe you have received? You are a king. No king gives a command twice, except you are a fake king. Where the word of a king is, if it didn't work, go and mount up more consciousness that you are a king. Mount up that consciousness. I'm a king. I'm a king. Ah, I'm a king. I'm a king. Speak all the reasons that have qualified you into becoming a king. Bought with a price. I'm a king. Ah, I died with Christ. Resurrected with him. Seated at the heavenlies. Far, I'm a king. Oh, glory, glory, glory. And when you take out time to fast, this kind now will come out. This kind of faith can be released now. Why you've prayed so much? You've taken time to fast. And when you go back to that situation, get out. Get out. That Jesus said, how long will I be with you before you are able to do this? Then he told them, say, this kind of faith, you see, does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Not demon. Are you listening? It's more like how we explain Boyle and Charles' law in physics. That will say inversely proportional, directly proportional. So the power of God on your inside, when it grows, is inversely or directly proportional to dealing with Satan in anybody's life. It's more like the aftermath. More like the aftermath. It's the overflow of God's power that deals with Satan in our life. Our call is not to fight Satan. He's too small. If Michael was God, he would have been a stronger God. He took Michael to take Satan off heaven. Satan is not a function. Listen, they would have not been Satan. Do you realize that in Eden, God did not introduce Satan? He said, name every animal. He did not say there was a spirit that would come against you. He didn't want to give Adam any consciousness of Satan. Yet, he knew Satan would come and try. Are you beginning to try and say? Yeah, he didn't try to give Adam a consciousness of Satan. Tell somebody, don't talk Satan, brother. He that had power has been destroyed. He had. When we emphasize him, he becomes a problem. Don't emphasize him. In emphasizing him, you give him life. See, there's a spirit in this. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. There are spirits in every territory. I heard that from Dr. Caris. Every city has a spirit, a soul, and a body. And those spirits have the leverage over that city based on the mentality of the people, which is determined by the information they have. So you observe some kind of characters in our cities, different cities in our city right now, a particular kind of lifestyle. It is tied to a certain mentality, tied to certain cultures and belief system. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? That's why this spirit has been there for a long time. So how do you deal with this spirit leaving the city? Not by telling the spirit to go. Because even if you tell them to go, as long as the people are believing wrongly, the spirit will still come back. What will you do? So might you grow the word of God. In the city of Ephesus, the church prevailed. We must take this word outside to everybody. You want to say a new Benway? Time for evangelism. Don't keep this testimony to yourself. Take it out. Speak to people everywhere. You find them smoking by the power of the Holy Ghost. Speak to it. Speak to them. You see what we are doing already? Stirring the revival everywhere. I heard the testimony yesterday. The intense presence of God for the student in BSU. And they said when they were done, the Holy Spirit said they should do evangelism. Such a powerful evangelism. Everybody move in the fire of the Holy Spirit doing evangelism. Imagine how that wave will rise. It's a movement. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's a movement. And some of you in your street, you will not just say students should be doing it. You will come out one evening. You will just be praying. The Holy Spirit will say, it's okay. Stand up and move. You see some boys, every time you are talking to them, you know these people are obviously on their way to hell. You see, in the power and the confidence of the Spirit, I want to talk to you people, brethren. And when you begin to speak, if the Holy Ghost needs to solve their problem prophetically, you are there. Because you have been praying. A man of God said this, I'll never forget. He said, how you register your availability for use in the realm of the spirit is by prayer. As you are praying, you are saying, God, I'm available, use me. As you get there talking prophetically, you hit them. There's something, blah, blah, blah. Healing wise, there's a sickness, you touch them. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? As you are talking God's word, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, then changes are happening. That guy you thought was stubborn had a soft heart all this while. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The gospel is for everybody. He said, if I'm lifted up on the cross, I can draw all men to myself. He has been lifted up. And we understand that revelation. And we are living epistles of that revelation. It's time to take him everywhere to the part of the world. Every part of the world, uttermost part of the world. Tell your friends about Jesus. Tell your brother about Jesus. Tell your dad about Jesus. That's how you break the power of Satan over their life. The Bible said the devil who walks in the life of the disobedient, as long as they are disobedient, Satan is working in their life. He has leverage to deal with them. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And you who is a witness, you know, sometimes we can just be reluctant as Christians. You are on fire, your brother is not on fire. You don't take it calm. Are you hearing me? Don't take it calm. You have been telling him he's not hearing. Don't fight him. Pray. I told you in agriculture, there are two ways things happen. Natural system of farming and the artificial system of farming. The natural one, we're in the season already. Let rain fall and fall on our crops and they will grow. But there's another way rain, water can affect our crops even if it's not rainy season. It is called irrigation. It is the artificial supply of water. That simply means even if the person is saying, I'm not ready to be born again, you can, from the wells of salvation in your spirit, begin to speak God's word. You have spoken the word, you begin to water it. As you are speaking, it's like you are not doing anything. Oh, you know, when something is trying to make progress, you plant a seed, you can't see the effect. All of a sudden, the ground will tear. It will come out. Jesus said something in the Bible in John 12. He said, except a corn of wheat falls on the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. And he's telling us he has died. Are you listening to me? It's time for the harvest. And listen, the harvest is plenteous. But guess what? The laborers are few. Because not every churchgoer is a laborer. But here we are. Many laborers are here in the name of Jesus. Who has said, God, I'm not just going to allow this thing slide. As I've seen it in your word, I'm going to make sure I'm a living epistle of what you have said. I'm part of the laborers. I'm part of the laborers. Go ahead and pray in the spirit everywhere. Go ahead and pray in the spirit. Go ahead and pray in the spirit. In the fire of the Holy Ghost. Everywhere we are laborers. We see the people rising in glory, power, and filled with the knowledge of our God. We see Makodi rising in glory, power, and filled with the knowledge of our King. We see the whole earth rising in glory, power, and filled with the knowledge of our God. We see the people rising in glory, power, and filled with the knowledge of our King. We are ready for the harvest. We are the sons of the Most High God. We are ready for the harvest. Woo! You reign forever, your kingdom's manifest. Blessed be your name. You reign forever, your kingdom's manifest. Shapakapapapaya. We see the people rising in glory, power, and fill everywhere. We see our families rising in glory, power, and filled. Shabababababababababababababababababab. No, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name. You reign forever. Kingdoms manifest. Blessed be your name. You reign forever. Your kingdoms manifest. Shaba ba 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 ya ka ba 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 ba. Reko shabete kaporani akaposi. La shaba kapara kaba ba ba. Eneko pele bebe rembe meto kotoli ya kapeli. E shaba ba benda kata. La karada gaga gabali ya kaba ba bebe beronto kobosha. E shaba diya kambrende bendo. Levre diya konshi bregede. Levre dege beto kaba ba ba. Woo! Shana na 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 ba ya kada ba lege da ba 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 ba. Ra pa 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 ba. Ba ra pa 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 ba. And Lord, I mean it. I mean it. I'm part of the laborers. I am part of the laborers in the name of Jesus. Reboka Rakaba, you will use me for your glory. You've created me for your glory. You've created me for your glory. Shanata Barakapala Inakapalia. Lord, anywhere I find myself, use me. Everywhere I find myself, use me. Leshon no no no. Epelia cafe. Jata. Shanama. Revival is here. We are in the season. Shamanaka. And Lord, whatever you are doing in this season, I am part of it. I refuse to be out of it. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. The earnest expectation of creation awaits the revealing of sons. Lord, I'm getting revealed now. Not tomorrow. Now. 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 You begin to use me. You begin to use me. You begin to use me. Shabaka ba 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 ba. Ay 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 ay. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray, pray, pray. Hey, na na. Eva ya kosha na ni balato shona ni balata ya. Let our eyes be to see the harvest and step into the harvest for the billions yet untold. For the billions yet untold. Woo! Shabaka ba 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 ba. Shabaka ba 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 ba. Woo! Ebaka na na na. Ebaka no shabaka ya na na ye. Baraka ya.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.